Okay, good morning. Today's shiur is sponsored by OMO Construction, David and Paul Valmzer, and the breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch. We just started the eighth parak of Brachos. We're going to start the Gemara now, starting at Nun Aleph Amud Beis, where the Gemara begins, and then we'll shift over to Nun Beis, which is not an easy daf. It's we're going to get into some entire stuff. So we're starting at the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Mishnah had stated a whole bunch of machloksim between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel relating to the Suda, and the Gemara now picks up from that. Tanu Rabbanan. Dvarim shebein Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel beSuda. One of the machloksim between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel relating to the Suda is Beis Shammai omrim mevarich al yom v'achar kach mevarich al yayin. When you make kiddush, or Havdalah, we'll see, but we're talking now about Kiddush, basically, on Shabbos and Yontif. Which comes first? So Beis Shammai says, you say the bracha on the Yom, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, or Mekadesh HaShabbos, the main bracha dealing with the theme of the day, V'achar kach mevarech al yayin, and then you make your bari per agafen, and then you drink your wine. Why? Shayom goreim l'yayin shiavo. The whole reason why you're making Kiddush is because of the day. And so it's appropriate to make the bracha on the day and then say the bracha on the wine. And that's kind of point A. And point B, related, is kvar kidesh hayom v'adayin yayin lo ba. He says, look at what's happening kind of naturally or astronomically. The day is there. It's already yontif. It's already Shabbos. There's no wine. You're now introducing wine into the picture. So it's kind of the day happened first, and then the wine is being introduced, and so therefore it's appropriate to make the bracha on the day, and then make the bracha on the wine. That's Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel omrim, and this is more familiar to us because we follow Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel omrim, mevarich al yayin, v'achar kach mevarich al hayom. First you make the bracha, baruch pri hagafen, and then you get into the bracha of the day. Why? Shayayin goreim l'kedusha sh'teyamer. The whole reason why you're able to say the bracha on the day is because you have the wine. You need the wine as a prerequisite to making Kiddush. And so therefore you make the bracha on the wine, and then you make the bracha on the day. That's point one. And a second reason Beis Hillel throws in is davar acher, birkas hayayin tedira, birkas hayom eina tedira. You can make a bari pri hagafen any day of the year. It happens all the time. Whenever you drink wine, wherever you drink grape juice, you make a bari pri hagafen. And so therefore, that's a common bracha. But birkas hayom eina tedira. Birkas hayom, the bracha on Shabbos or the bracha on Yontif, is not very common. It only happens once a week or once a year, or three times a year. And so it's much less common. And we have a rule, tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodim. We have a rule that whenever something more common happens, along with something less common, you do the more common thing first. Tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodim. Rashi points out here that the source for the rule of tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodim is from Karbanos, where we have the Karban Musaf and we have a Karban Tamid. Tamid happens every day. Musaf only happens once a week, a few times a year. And based on the Psukim, it says that the Musaf comes Milvad Olas HaBoker, right? Aside from the Olas HaBoker, implying strongly that the Olas HaBoker comes first, that you're going to bring the Tamid Shal Shachar first, and then only after that the Musaf. And from there we learn, Umikana Talamed will call it to meet him, and you apply that rule, Tadir Vashenu Tadir Tadir Kodim, from there. Fine, that's Beis Hillel's rationale for doing the bracha on the yayin first and then the bracha yom. And the Gemara then says, V'alacha kedivrei Beis Hillel. The halacha, we follow Beis Hillel, which is what we do. We do the bracha on the wine and then the bracha on the day. The Gemara then says, my davar acher, why did Beis Hillel feel the need to throw in a second reason? Why wasn't the first reason enough? So they answer, v'chi tema hasam tarti v'acha chada. Beis Shammai kind of gave two reasons, even though the truth is, if you read Beis Shammai, the two reasons were very related. But because Beis Shammai formulated their rationale in two parts, so hacha nami, so Beis Hillel says, I'll step up to the plate also, and I'll give you two reasons. Hacha nami tarti ninu, Birkas Hayayin Tadiro, Birkas Hayom Eina Tadira, Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. I'll throw in my second rationale of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. And that's the rationale Beis Hillel gives. Now the Gemara says, V'alacha Kedivrei Beis Hillel. We follow Beis Hillel, the halacha is like it, like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Everyone knows the halacha is Beis Hillel. The halacha is always Beis Hillel, but like Beis Hillel. The nafka baskol, because we know that there was a case where the Gemara in Irvin explains that for a number of years, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argued the halacha this way, who's better, who's Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and eventually a baskol came out and says, Eilu va'eilu divrei elokim chayim v'alacha kedivrei Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, why does the Gemara here have to tell us that we follow Beis Hillel? We know throughout Shas that we follow Beis Hillel because of the baskol. So the Gemara answers, Ibaisema kodem baskol. Perhaps this Gemara, or this brisa, was stated before the baskol, and that's why it had to state that. Ibaisema l'achar baskol v'rabi Yoshua hi d'amarei mashkichim b'baskol. Or alternatively, even after the baskol is not necessarily determinative, because we have a rule that, generally speaking, we don't follow the baskol. We follow rov. We follow, right, the whole... Rashi makes a reference to the sugya of the Tanur Sha'achanai, the whole famous story with the Machlokas about whether that specific Tanur made the things tummy or tar. And Rabbi Lezer said, if I'm right, then the tree should move and the river should flow upstream, etc. And then eventually Baskol came out and said halacha, and the Gemara concludes, or Rabbi Yeshua at least states, there in Mashkichin b'Baskol, we don't follow the Baskol. That's not how we determine halacha, and that's why it was necessary for our Gemara here, notwithstanding the fact that the Baskol said halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel, that's why it was necessary for our Gemara here to say halacha k'divrei Beis Hillel. Okay. So now the Gemara says, now we're going to analyze this machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to which comes first, the bracha on the wine or the bracha on the day. V'savri Beis Shammai de birkas hayom adifa. Is it really true that Beis Shammai says that you do the day first and then the wine? V'atanya, we have a brisa with respect to Havdalah. Hanichnas lebeisa b'motzoi Shabbos. You come home from shul after Shabbos, so now you're about to make Havdalah. Mevarich al hayayin, you make the bracha on the wine, v'al ma'or, and then on the candle, v'al b'samim, and then on the b'samim. V'achar kach omer avdala, and then you make a bracha on avdala. V'im ein lo el kosachad, and now, you see, back then, they used to have their malav malka immediately after their avdala. So their avdala would kind of flow into their malav malka. And the Gemara here, the Braisi here is assuming that you'd want to have a kos shel bracha for your mezumen after your malav malka, when you bench. But if you're limited, you only have one cup of wine, so then what should you do? Menichu la'achar amazon. Wait till, push everything until after you eat. Have your malav malka first, and then umishal shulan kulan la'acharav. And then make havdalah together with the summon and the candle and the mezumin on your malav malka afterwards, which is interesting that you're allowed to eat. Right, so Tosfos kind of wrestles with that a little bit. And the assumption is that in this situation, you need the wine, so we're going to make an exception to the rule, and we're going to allow you to eat first because you're limited in how much wine you have.
Wasn't there more focus, like if you need a dollar, if you stay at the Kohen in Shemona Esrei, that's kind of like a dollar?
Yeah, that's we had that in the earlier in Brachos. We had that on Lamed Gimel. That the historical evolution of HaTochan Antanu and Havdalah, right? In the beginning...
Maybe they said HaTochan and then they were able to eat, and then they had the kos for after.
That's interesting. They're saying maybe this was a point in history where they weren't making Havdalah ala kos, they would just make it in the davening, right. And you don't need a Havdalah ala kos. Yeah, but they're assuming here that you're making it ala kos.
But you could eat, maybe.
Yeah. No, but I think even nowadays where we say it in Natachan Antanu and then we say it, right, the Gemara's Askana there is nowadays the third stage in that historical evolution was that we say it in Natachan Antanu. It's just that if you have the opportunity to say it at home, you should also say it at home. Right, because that Gemara is all related to the economic situation. They didn't have enough money for wine. But here where apparently they have the wine, it's a good point. Meaning the fact that they're sitting out Tachan Antan makes it not the end of the world that they're eating first.
Right.
Yeah. Tosus doesn't assume that. Tosus assumes that at least l'chatchila you should be machmer and not eat until after your Havdalah. But here where they were left with just one cup of wine, the Bryce's advice to you is to push it to push everything on that one cup of wine. Eat first, and then do your mezumin together with your avdala on that cup of wine.
It's kind of like what you do in shul, is you don't drink from the coats, from the benching.
Yeah, that's different. That's because of the whole problem of, well, it's related, because it's the problem of drinking before, yeah. Yeah.
But it shows that holding you need to do the benching al coats.
They say that you need, right, exactly. That's another thing.
You shouldn't do it on
Avdala. Right, right, which is not our minhag today. You know, now we're very lax on that halacha, right? Okay, fine. So, in any event, well, we're asking the question on Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai said that you do the yom first and then you do the yayin. And here we have a brisa that seems to say very clearly you do the yayin first and then you do Avdala. Forget about even the situation of the Malav Malka, but even the beginning of the Brice, it says, so it seems to be the opposite of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai said, Yom first, Yayin later. Here it says, Yayin first, Yom later. So the Gemara says, well, what makes you so sure that this is Beis Shammai? Maybe this Brice is just following the opinion of Beis Hillel, who said that the wine comes first, and then the day. So the Gemara says, "Lo salka taitach." You shouldn't think, or there's no possibility of thinking that this brisa follows Beis Hillel. The katani meor v'achar kach besamim, because this brisa says the candle comes first, and then the besamim. Man shamis le'disle ha'isfar Beis Shammai, and we know that it's Beis Shammai who holds that you do the candle followed by the samim, by the besamim. Detanya, because we have another brisa. The Tanya, Rav Yehuda, Monechuku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al Amazon Shebetchila veAl Avdala Shebibesof. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai didn't argue about what comes first when you're doing the Malav Malka and Avdala all together. That you do the Birkas Amazon first and then you do Avdala. That's not a machlokas. They all agree with that. Al Manechuku, what is the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel al Maor veAl Besamim? Their argument is simply on the order of the candle versus the spices. Beis Shammai says you do the candle followed by the besamim. Beis Hillel omrim besamim v'achar kach meor. And Beis Hillel holds that you do the besamim and then you do the candle. So if you look back in that brisa said v'ala meor v'ala besamim. You do the candle followed by the besamim. That's clearly Beis Shammai. And again, relating it back to the original question then, if Beis Shammai is the author of that brisa, and why then is he saying Yayin followed by Yom, whereas in our Mishnah he said Yom followed by Yayin? So the Gemara says, "Umi mai de Beis Shammai di, are you so sure that that's Beis Shammai v'ali b'drav Yehuda, dilma Beis Hillel hi v'ali b'drav Meir?" There's a machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir also thrown into the mix here, that and according to what we just quoted, meaning that idea that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about the order of the wine, of the candle and the besamim, and Beis Shammai holds candle followed by besamim, that's Beis Shammai Alibid Rabbi Yehuda that we just quoted in that brisa. But there's another whole opinion, and that's Rabbi Meir, who says it differently. In fact, if you look in our Mishnah itself, our Mishnah doesn't have Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing about the order of the besamim and Havdalah, and Ne'er, rather. They both hold Ne'er and then Besamim in our Mishnah. So we're going to see on Amud Beis that that's according to Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, don't think that that is what we're following. We're not following Rabbi Meir. We're not following our Mishnah. We are following, or in analyzing who's the author of that Brisa, we're following this Brisa of Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah, which is Rabbi Meir's approach to this, which is Rabbi Meir's understanding of Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So there it says, Ner Mazon Besamim Havdala, Ner Besamim Mazon Havdala, V'asam Bebraisa Katani Im Englo Ela Kosecha Menicho Achara Mazon Meshalshal and Kula Acharav. Whereas in this brisa, it said that if you're left with only one kos, you should push everything to the end. So if that brisa is holding that you push everything to the end. That's obviously within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, because that doesn't fit at all within Shitas Rabbi Meir and our Mishnah. And so therefore, Shema Mino debase Shamahi V'liba D'Rabbi Yehuda. That's the bottom line. So the Gemara finishes that analysis and says clearly, the brisa that we quoted at the top, starting the third line of the Gemara, is clearly Beis Shammai. And yet, so we're back to our question. That brisa is clearly Beis Shammai. In our mission, we said that Beis Shammai holds Yom comes first, and then comes the wine. And yet, in this brisa, that's clearly Beis Shammai, we've concluded, we have the wine first, and then the Yom. So how do you reconcile that? The Gemara says, Mikom Makom Kasha. We're left with our original question. So the Gemara answers, Kasavri Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai has a unique opinion here and says, and they say, you don't uniformly always follow Yom followed by wine or wine followed by Yom. Rather, you look at whether Shabbos is coming in or going out. Shaini Iyula Yoma Me'afuka Yoma. That going into Shabbos is different than coming out of Shabbos or Yantif. Iyula Yoma Kama D'maktaminan Le'adif. When you're going into Shabbos or Yantif, as much as you can make Shabbos, I have this idea of Tosefes, we're excited about Shabbos, we want Tosefes Shabbos, so as much as you can put the Yom first, then you'll put the wine afterwards, we are excited about bringing it in, so we'll do the Yom first. Afuka Yoma, but on the way out, for Avdala, Kama D'ma'acharinan Le'adif. The more we could push off saying the Yom and keep Shabbos going or keep Yom Tov going, the better it is. We don't want it to look like a burden on us. We want to kind of delay the leaving of the day. And so therefore, Shitas Beis Shammai is this unique Shita that for Kiddush, you make the brach on the Yom first, followed by the Ayin, because you are excited, you want to bring the day in early. And for Havdalah, we don't want to look like a burden, so we'll make the Yayin first, and only then make the Yom. That's Shitas Beis Shammai. And then it's all consistent. Beis Shammai in the Mishnah is talking about bringing Shabbos in. Beis Shammai in this Braisa is talking about taking Shabbos out. And that's why the order is reversed. Fine. Now the Gemara says, while we're at it, it seems that Beis Shammai holds that when you bench, when you have a mezumin, you need a kos. So the Gemara questions that. V'savrei Beis Shammai, because a mezumin to a kos, does Beis Shammai really hold that you need wine when you make your mezumin on benching? And then we have a Mishnah that says, Balahem Yayin Lachar Amazon. So let's say you're having your meal, and you eat everything on your table, you're enjoying your meal, and now they bring you wine towards the end of your meal. What should you do? So Mishnah says, Balahem Yayin Lachar Amazon. If they bring wine to you at the very tail end of your Suda, Im Ein Sham El Oso Kos, and that's the only wine that you have, Beis Shammai Omrim Mevarich Al Yayin, V'achar Kach Mevarich Al HaMazon. So Beis Shammai says that you should make the bracha on the wine right then and there, and then only then bench. That makes it sound like there's no terrible loss if you bench without wine. Right? It sounds like Beis Shammai is saying it's not that important to have wine as part of your Zeman. So it's perfectly okay if they bring you wine at the tail end of your suda to make your bracha on the wine, and only then to make bet to bench. My lav, demarvarich ilei v'shasilei. Presumably, this means that Beis Shammai says you should make the bracha on the wine and then drink it, right? And again, that the conclusion of that is that it's not so important to have wine for your birkas hamazon, for your mezumin. So Gemara says no. Lo, demarvarich ilei umanachlei. Beis Shammai is simply saying that you should make the bracha on the wine and then hold off until after benching, and then you'll drink the wine as part of the mezumin. So the Gemara says, how could that be? V'amr mar ha-mavarich sarach shiyitom. We all know that when you make your bracha, you have to immediately drink. It doesn't work to make a bracha on the yayin and then bench, and then you're going to drink the wine. That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, you're right, the time lay. You did drink a little bit. Right, so again, Beis Shammai, the way we're holding right now, it sounds like they bring the wine at the end of the meal. Beis Shammai says it's perfectly okay to make the bracha on the wine, drink it, and then use that wine for the benching, for the muzzum. So Gemara says, if that's the case, v'amar mar taimo pugmo, once you put your lips to the cup, that makes the yayin pugum, it kind of makes it soiled. It's not pure wine anymore, and you can't use it for a kosher bracha. You can't use it for your mezuzah. So the answer is the tayin le biyadi. You spilled a little bit out into your hand, and you didn't then taint the wine, and that's what's going on. The Gemara says, V'amar mar kosher bracha tzarech shir. How can that work? You need a full cup. You need the shir. You need that revius in order for you to use this wine to bench. V'hakapachas le mishira. And if you're going to spill a little out into your hand, so you're going to be left with it.
When you make kiddush, don't you have to like make, or I'm saying rov kos, do you think you have to drink something like that?
Well, that's not a problem here. Meaning what we're saying...
Because we're doing benching.
No, that's okay. We're benching. Well, yeah, but whatever the shear is, the point is you're going to need a shear.
Just a little bit, but I thought you still had...
No, no, this little bit is what you're going to make a bracha at the end of your meal, simply to drink it. Right. Beishami is simply saying, not as part of a kosher bracha, Beishami is saying you could drink it as part of your meal. So now, once you've tilted a little into your hand and drank from it, you're left with less than a shear. So the Gemara answers, no, what? Not such a big deal. The nafish leit tfeilam yishura. We're talking about where you had more than a shear. You had a big cup. Now you tip a little off, you drink as part of your meal, and you can still use the rest for your kosher bracha. The Gemara says, "Va'im ein sham elosav kos katani." The Gemara says, our whole kimta here, our whole story was where you only had one cup. That sounds like you had only a cup, you know, that only one cup literally, implying that anything less than that is not going to be enough. Trei lo havi, right? You don't have enough for two cups of wine here. That's the answer, I'm sorry. Trei lo havi umichad nafish. It's true, you don't have two cups, but you have more than one cup. So we've kind of made our way down the line here, and what we're saying is that Beis Shammai is saying that you can drink from this cup before you bench, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't need a kosher bracha for benching. You do need a kosher bracha for benching, consistent with Beis Shammai above. It's just here you can get away with taking a little bit of wine during the meal as well, and there's enough wine left over to now use it as kosher bracha, and you spilled it into your hand, so you didn't taint the wine, and it's perfectly okay. The Gemara then says, V'atani Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia had a different, or slightly different version of this brisa, which said, Beis Shammai omrim mevarich al hayayin vishcho sehu. There it sounds like Beis Shammai says, you make the bracha on the wine at the end of your meal, you drink the whole cup, and then you make Birkas HaMazon. That sounds very clearly as if Beis Shammai is saying you don't need a cup of wine for your Zimun, so, and which is problematic for us, because our whole brisa up there, which we attributed to Beis Shammai, made it sound like you do need kosher bracha for your Birkas HaMazon. So my answer is, Eletrei Tanoi Valiva de Beis Shammai. There are two opinions as to what Beis Shammai held, and Rabbi Chia, who quoted this price as clearly holding the Beis Shammai holds, you don't need a cup for benching, but the price that we brought originally is saying that you do need a cup for benching according to Beis Shammai. Okay. There's an interesting, a very interesting Tosfos, the top Tosfos here. Tosfos points out an interesting phenomenon. If you think about when you use a kosher bracha, so for Kiddush and Avdallah, we just said that you make the bracha first on the yayin, according to Beis Hillel, right? You first make the bracha al yayin, and then you make the bracha on the day, on the yom. Tosfos points out when it comes to benching, benching is also a form of kosher bracha, and there we make the bracha on the yayin at the end. So why should that be? If we're following Beis Hillel, and the yayin always comes first, shouldn't benching then consist of making a bari pera gafen and then have that leading into benching? You should make the bari pera gafen at the beginning when you do the whole zimun part. So why should that be? So he says, Yishmor deichi navid, in the varech kodem birkas hamazon, imken yehi birkas hamazon hesach hadas. Right, we're assuming that after you're benching, you're going to drink it. And he says the whole Birkas HaMazon is a Hesach HaDas. It's an interruption from your bracha. He says, when it comes to Kiddush, the Kiddush is not a Hesach Hadas because you're all geared up to eat a meal. You're going into the meal, you're going into drinking, and so the Kiddush that you're making is kind of consistent with the flow. You make the bracha on the wine, but you don't forget about the wine because you're about to eat a whole meal. So you're focused on eating, you're focused on drinking. When it comes to Birkas HaMazon, you're exiting from the meal. And so if you were to make your bracha on the yayin and then go through the whole benching is kind of the, you know, the letdown. It's the you're winding down from the meal. And so that's a Hesach Hadas. Then to drink the wine afterwards would be completely anticlimactic. The benching would be considered a hefsek, whereas opposed to the Kiddush, it's the opposite. You're kind of going into the meal, and there was not as
a dust. Any other times where you make the bracha of that mehenin, and then you don't, like...
Yeah, we do it at a wedding, right?
Okay.
We do it at a wedding, at a bris also. You make a bori... I think that's right. You make a bori per guffin, and then there's a whole bunch of interruptions, right? Am I wrong? I haven't been to a bris in a while. I think that's right.
They drink right away.
You're right, they drink right away. But no, at a wedding, they don't. At a wedding, for Shavuot Brachos. Shavuot Brachos under the chuppah.
Hagafen is first.
And then there's the whole litany of Brachos. Yeah. So it follows this idea. Okay. Now we're going to get into some Tum and Tara. So the Mishnah had said, Beishamra Omer. Okay, we'll start from the Brice here. Tana Rabbanan. Beishamay Omrim, Notlun Liadayim, V'achar kach mozgin esakos. So Beishamay says, he was kind of the way the Yekis do it. Beishamay say, you should wash your hands and then make Kiddush. Right, then prepare, mozgin means prepare the wine, but it means make Kiddush. Wash your hands and then make Kiddush. Why? Shema ta'omer mozgin esakos t'chila. Because if you make Kiddush first, gezera shema yitme'u mashkin shachore akos machmas yadav, we're worried that you are going to, let's take a step back. Everyone here is concerned, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are concerned about being metame the food. We don't want you to bring tumah to the picture and get the tumah on the food. That would be bad. Right? Minah Torah, necessarily, it's not necessarily a problem to eat something but tumah, right? Because if it's not Truma and it's not Kudshim, there's no problem. But we try to kind of elevate our situation. We try to keep things tahor. And nowadays even, we wash our hands, Netilas Yadayim, to take Tumah off our hands. Because who knows, you know, or Mehera Yibana Mikdash will be in a situation where some people have to eat their food Batara. Let's say, for example, if you're a Kohen and you're eating Truma, you have to eat the Batara. So we want to generally elevate everyone's situation, and generally we want people, when they get to the table, to not have tuma on their hands. Now, there's a general gezerah drabanan of tumas yadayim, right? Min haTorah, there's no difference between your hand and your body. Unless your whole body is tame, then your hands are also going to be tar, right? If your body's tar, your hands are tar. But mi drabanan, the rabbis considered hands sheni latuma. And even without any reason to think that they become tame, we assume going in that they're tame. And so therefore, if you wash your hands, that takes away that tumah status, and then you could eat. So we don't want the tumah to taint the food that you're eating. The question here is, what's the best strategy for avoiding that? In terms of the order of washing and then saying Kiddush. The concern is that the tumah is going to affect tumah from the. Well, let's go through the sugi now. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, Beis Shammai Omrim Notlun Liyadayim V'Achar Kach Mozgin Esakos. Beis Shammai says first you wash your hands and then you do Kiddush. Shim Ata Omer Mozgin Esakos Tchila. Because if we allow you to do Kiddush first, then we're concerned Gezera Shema Yitmu Mashkin Shachore Akos Machmas Yadav. We're worried that, again, you haven't washed yet, right? And so there, the tumah on your hands is going to transfer to the mashkin, to the wetness on the outside of the kos, V'yachzru v'yitamu es hakos. And then it's going to cause the kos to become tame. We're worried that your hands are going to make the kos tame if you haven't washed first. That's simple enough. That's what Beit Shammai says. So the Gemara now challenges that analysis slightly, or challenges that formulation slightly, and says, why are we phrasing it as a concern that your hands are going to be matami, the mashkin, the wetness, the moisture on the outside? It goes, why don't we just say that your hands are going to be matami the kos directly? The Gemara says, v'litmu yadayim l'kos. Why aren't we concerned that the hands are going to be make the kos tame? So the Gemara answer is, yadayim shniosein. As we just said, yadayim have a status of sheni l'tuma. Vein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin elayi de mashkin. And the rule is that a sheni doesn't make a shlishi b'chulin except with mashkin. Here's the rule. There are various levels of tuma. There's avi avos tuma is a dead body. A carcass is the avi avos tuma. If you touch an avi avos tuma, you'll become an avatuma. If someone touches a avatuma, they become a rishon. If someone touches a rishon, they become a sheni. If you touch a sheni, you become a shlishi. Touch a shlishi, you could become a revi. Now, not every level has significance in every domain, right? When it comes to kudshim, even something as low as a revi'i betuma is problematic. When it comes to truma, even something as low as a shlishi betuma is problematic. But when it comes to chulin, only a sheni is problematic. When it comes to chulin, regular, ordinary stuff, not truma, not kudshim, it has no significance if something touches a sheni and becomes a shlishi. That already we disregarded as no significance for chulin. So when it comes to chulin, we don't care about a shlishi. So if the sheni of the hands touch the cup, which would now become a shlishi, that would not be a problem. But when the hands, which are a sheni, touch a liquid, so now midra banan, the rabbis elevated a liquid up one level, and they said it's as if it's a rishon. It's as if your hands are, or it's as if a rishon touched it, and the lechulin themselves take on the character of the, I'm sorry, the mashkin themselves, the liquid itself takes on the character of the sheni. And so therefore, when Beis Shammai articulated the problem here, is shema yitamu mashkin sharachar kos machamas yadav, the reason they honed in on the fact that a liquid is going to become tameh from your hands is because a solid wouldn't. We're talking about chulin here, and so therefore your sheni hands wouldn't cause a problem to create a shlishi on the kos. It's only a problem when it touches a liquid, where then we jump up a step and then it becomes a sheni. That's the analysis of Beis Shammai. Now let's go over to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel omrim, mozgin asakos, v'achar kach notlin liyadayim. So Beis Hillel says, no, first you make kiddush, and then you go and wash. Shimata omer notlin liyadayim tchila, if you tell me to go wash first, gezera shema yitmu mashkin shebiyadayim machma sakos, v'yachzru v'yitamu asayadayim. Beis Hillel says, if you wash first, that's not going to help you that much, because what if the kos itself is tameh, and now I'm going to, right, I come from my washing station, I go pick up my kos, there's going to be some moisture on the back of the kos, on the outside of the kos, and that's going to take the tumah from the kos and transfer it to my hands, defeating the purpose of having washed. So here too, the Gemara says, why did you formulate it as a problem of the liquid becoming tameh and then transferring the tumah to your hands? V'nitmei kos liyadayim. Why didn't you formulate it as simply a problem of the kos being metameh your hands? The Gemara answer is, ein kli metame adam. The rule is that a kli is not metame a person. The kli would be metame a person if the kli itself would be a rishon. Right? A rishon kli can be metame a person as secondary. But we're talking about here where the kli itself became tame from a rishon, so the kli is a sheni. And a sheni is not metame a person. That's the rule. So the Gemara, and so that's why Tosfos phrased it as the kli is going to bring tumah to the mashkin, to the moisture on the outside of the kli, because again, then it jumps up a step, the mashkin becomes a rishon, and it is metame the hands as a sheni. And that will have defeated the purpose of having washed, and that's why Beis Hillel says don't wash first, make your kiddush first. The Gemara says, "V'nitmi l'mashkin shebetocho." Why are we always concerned, or why are we concerned here in this situation between with the hands becoming tamei or the kli becoming tamei? Why aren't we worried about the? And again, because Beis Hillel here is saying, don't wash first and just make kiddush. So if that's the case, aren't you worried that your tamei hands, which are automatically shniyos midrabanan, are going to make the wine inside the kli tamei? So the Gemara says, "Hacha b'kli shenitmu achorav b'mashkin askinan, detocho tahor v'gabo tamei." We're talking about, as we just said, where the kli is becoming tamei because of moisture on the outside, and the rule is that a kli, generally speaking, will only become tamei on the outside of the kli, where the tumah came from the outside, and it doesn't transfer to the inside of the kli. Right? There are various types of kalim, right? There's a kli cheres, for example, which can only become tamei by putting something in it, or even like holding something above in it will make the kli tamei in a tumah in a kli cheres. But in a kli mateches, in a metal kli, so the rule is that if the tumah comes from the outside of the kli, it doesn't transfer to the inside of the kli. It doesn't transfer to the handle. It really just affects the part that you touched. The exception to that is a kli zechuchas, I think, right? If you have a glass kli, because it's transparent, you can see inside. So midrabanan, the rabbi said that the tumah will transfer because it's kind of funny. You could see inside, so why should the tumah just be outside? The tumah should kind of follow the line of sight. But that's the exception, midrabanan. When it comes to a metal kli, if you touch the outside of the kli, only the outside of the kli is going to be tameh. Ditnan, as we have in a mission that says, kli shenitmu achorov b'mashkin, achorov tameim, tocho v'ugno v'ozno v'yadov torim. When you touch the outside of a kli with mashkin, only the outside is tameh, but not the inside, and not the handle, and not the lip, and not any other part of the kli. Nitmu tocho, however, if you're metame the inside of the kli, so then nitma kulo, so then the whole kli, even the handle, even the outside, becomes tame. Okay, so now we have an explanation for Beis Shammai, why they think you should wash first, and an explanation for Beis Hillel, why they think you should make kiddush first. And the Gemara says, what are we really talking about? What's the explanation of their machlokas as to what should happen first here? So, b'mayka miflige. So, Beis Shammai savri, Beis Shammai holds, asur lishtamish b'kli shenitmu achorav b'mashkin. Beis Shammai says, once the kli is tamei on the outside, because something tamei has touched it with the help of mashkin, with the help of moisture, it's asur to use that kli. Gezeira mishum nitzotzos. Right? You can imagine a scenario where we'd say it's mutter to use that kli, right? Because my hands are dry, let's say, and the kli is dry, and all I want to do is make kiddush. So why don't we just say I can make the kiddush on that kli, and if everything's dry, it's not a problem. No tumah is going to transfer to my hands because, as we said above, the kli is not metame my hands. But Beis Shammai says there's a Isser drabanan to use that kli, because we're concerned that some of the wine inside the kli might splash out, cause moisture on the outside of the kli, and that's then going to transfer tumah from the kli to my hands and be problematic for the rest of the meal that I'm eating. And so Beis Shammai says there's an isser to use that kli in that situation, gezeira mishum nitzotzos, because we're worried about this stuff splashing on the outside of the kli and therefore infecting my hands. Fine. So Beis Shammai says it's usher to use that kli, and therefore v'leka l'migzar shema yitmu hamashkin shebiadayim b'kos. So Beis Shammai says, I'm not going to make a gezeira that the... Hold on a second. V'leka l'migzar shema yitmu hamashkin shebiadayim b'kos. Yes, because it's prohibited to use a a tame kli, a tame kos. So I'm not worried about how that's going to affect my hands. And therefore, I can safely do netilas yadayim first. Now make everything sterile, so to speak. Everything's tahor. And now take that kos, because I'm not worried that that kos is now going to taint my hands, because if the kos was tame, I wouldn't be able to use that kos because of that gezeira. Good. Uveisil savri mutter lishtamish b'klish nitim achor b'mashkim. I'm reading nitzosos lo shlichi. Beisil says, just because a kos is tame on the outside doesn't mean I can't use it, because it's not so common that the wine's going to splash out. Usually I hold my cup okay and the wine doesn't splash out. And so therefore, the kos, even though it's tamei, is not going to affect my hands, because I can assume everything is going to remain dry. And therefore, v'ikol mecha shema yitmu mashkin shabiyadayim machma sakos. And this is a little counterintuitive, but so Beis Hillel says, because I can use that kos, Beis Shammai is worried about doing the netilas yadayim first and assuming that that's going to now carry you through your meal, because I'm able to use a tame kos. And so Beis Hillel says, since you're able to use a tame kos, we're worried that you're going to wash your hands. Your hands are still going to be a little damp from having washed them. You're going to pick up the kos, and now the whole process is going to be tainted because you've taken a tame kos and it's tainted your hands. So again, just in short, this is a little confusing. Beis Shammai holds that you're not allowed to use a tamei kos. And so therefore, he's not worried that you're going to wash your hands, now pick up a tamei kos, and that a tuma is going to transfer to your hands because of the moisture on your hands from having washed, because if the kos was tamei, you wouldn't be allowed to be using it. Beis Hillel says, I'm not worried about a tamei kos, because it's very infrequent that that's going to actually transfer from the wine coming out. And so therefore, I don't have a problem, says Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel says you are allowed to use a tamei kos. And so therefore, Beis Hillel says, don't wash first, because then you risk the tumah of the kos transferring onto your hands. Rather, do the kiddush first, and only then, once you've gotten that out of the way, and you've eliminated the risk that the tamei kos is going to infect your hands, now go wash and start your meal, and then you're clear.
It's interesting because we focus so much on making a bracha and then not being masik, but I don't know how many people, they make until she dies and then they start bringing things to the table and they're touching everything.
Right, but your point that we focus on not being a hafsak is the next point of the Gemara. Gemara says, Dover acher, take off l'netilos yadayim suda. Another reason, says Beis Hillel, is that another reason why you should do kiddush first and then only wash and then eat is because we have a rule, generally speaking, that you shouldn't make a hafsak between your netilos yadayim and your suda. So Gemara says, my davar acher, why are we throwing in a davar acher? Wasn't his tumah and tara explanation good enough? So kachi kamar lo Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, even according to your logic that we just said, my approach is better to take off the sudaim suda, because we have a general rule when it comes to eating sudas that it's better to wash and then immediately eat. Don't get complicated with washing and then making your kiddush, etc., because of all your tum and tara reasons. Follow the rule. It's a simpler rule. And don't make a hafsek between your washing and the suda. Okay.
So when you wash your hands should be facing up. When you're washing your hands, you should wash your hands with your fingers facing up.
Right, like poseach es yadechem is what they say that you should.
Sometimes you wash your hands like, if you put your hands down, then the water will
come back down. Right. Yeah, and that's all interrelated to this. So the fact that even after you're washing, you're at risk of being metame your hands again. You know, again, if you hold like Beis Hillel, it's because you're allowed to use a tame cup, and then there's the concern that it's going to reinfect. So yeah, similar kind of idea. Okay, fine. Now we're talking, we haven't gotten out of Tumantara. Now we're talking about the napkin. Mm. So the napkin that you eat your suda, in the Mishnah, we had a machlokas beishamay and beisil. Where should you keep your napkin? Should you keep your napkin on the table, or should you keep your napkin on the chair? Right? It's not just an issue of manners, but it was related to Mantara. And we're assuming that we're talking about a concern that the napkin is going to become very wet. And that wetness, as we explained above, is going to be effective in transferring Tumah. So let's see how that plays out.
Is that drying your hand from washing?
No, this is the mapa. It might be that you're taking that same towel that you dried your hands with and bringing it to the table. That might be. And the question is, where do you keep this towel? Can you keep it on the table, or should you keep it on your chair? And we'll see. The Gemara is going to say there are two possible sources of Tumah here. There's the Tumah on the table, the Tumah on the chair. And in one case, well, we'll see. Let's see how it plays out. You're right. Yeah, it has to do with the towel you use to dry. So you dry your hands with a towel. And keep it on the table now. Shimata Omer al Keses, if you say that you'd put it on the chair, Gezera Shema Yitmu Mashkin Shebimapa Machmas HaKeses, we're worried that something Tameh might be on the chair, and that's going to then infect the moisture on the towel. V'yachzru V'yitamu Aseyadayim, and now when you touch the towel, which is wet, that Tumah is going to transfer from the towel to your hands. So the Gemara asks similar to the way we asked above. The style of the Gemara here is to scrutinize and say, why are you always worried about the mashke? V'nitmia keses l'mapa. Why are you talking about wetness? Why don't we just say that the Tumah of the chair is going to directly infect the towel with Tumah? The Gemara answers, ein kli matame kli. We have a general rule that a kli, unless it's an ava Tumah, Rashi points out, a kli is not going to be metame another kli, and here we're talking about rishon, and therefore that's not a problem. The Gemara says v'nitmia kesas legavra gufe. Maybe why shouldn't you be worried if you're already assuming that there is tuma on the chair? Why aren't you worried that the chair is going to infect the person directly? Ein kli metame adam. Again, unless we're talking about an avatuma, a kli is not metame a person. So that's Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Omrim al Keses. Beis Hillel says, keep the towel on the chair. Shimata Omer al Shulchan, because if you say that the towel goes on the table, Gezera Shema Yitmu Mashkin Shebemapa Machmas HaShulchan, V'yachzru V'yitamos HaUchan. We're worried that the towel's wet, so the Shulchan's going to be Tameh, the Shulchan's going to transfer Tumah to the wetness of the towel, and then the wetness of the towel will transfer Tumah to the food you're eating, which is what we're trying to avoid here. So the Gemara again asks, why are you focusing on the wetness? Why don't you say that the Tumah transfers directly? Why don't you just assume, forget about the towel altogether? If the Shulchan's Tameh, why don't you assume that the Shulchan should be Metameh the Ochel directly? Hacha b'Shulchan sheni askinan. We're talking about a shulchan which itself is only a sheni, and as we said above, with chulin, the worst you can get is a sheni. The sheni is not going to make a shlishi b'chulin. Elai de mashkin, but if they're mashkin there, then as we said above, it upgrades it, it jumps it a step up, and therefore it will become a rishon and make the ochlin a sheni. So here again we say, what's the fundamental machokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Each of them has a legitimate reason to be concerned, either the tumah of the shulchan affecting through the mapa the ochlin, or the tumah of the keses affecting the yadayim. So why are they arguing? Beis Shammai savri asur ishtamish b'shulchan sheni. So Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to use a shulchan sheni altogether, meaning a shulchan that's a sheni b'tumah, you can't use altogether, gzera mishum ochlei truma, because truma, as we know, becomes tameh even as a shlishi. And so we want to keep people away from any kind of possibility that their truma is ever going to be tainted. And so therefore, even when you're eating chulin, don't use a shulchan that's a sheni betumah, because that might then make the stuff a shlishi. And even though chulin's not a problem, if you were eating truma, it would be a problem. And so Beis Shammai says there's a general gzera, you can't use a shulchan that's a sheni betumah. And therefore, the Beis Hillel's concern was not a problem. Beis Hillel savri mutter uishtamish b'shulchan sheni. you're allowed to use a shulchan that's a sheni betumay, that's a sheni betuma, because ochlei truma is rizimim. We're not worried that ochlei truma is going to eat it. Someone who's eating truma will be careful not to sit at such a table, but that's not going to cause a problem for ochlei chulin to sit at a shulchan that's a sheni. Good. Davar acher in netil sedaim lechulin min haTorah. Another reason that Beis Hillel explains for their reason is because there's no concept of netil sedaim for chulin min haTorah. My davar acher, Gemara says, what does this mean, or what are you adding here? Hachi kamru Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. Beis Hillel throws an added explanation to Beit Shammai and says, v'chi timru maishna gabe ochlin dechayshinan. Umayshna gabe yadayim delo chayshinan. Beis Hillel says, why is it that I'm concerned about the ochel becoming tamei, right? And that's why I say keep the napkin on the chair, and I'm not concerned about the yadayim becoming tamei. Afiu hachi ha'adifa dein netilas yadayim lechulin min haTorah. He says it's true that we are concerned about hands when it comes to tumah. But that's not min haTorah. Min haTorah, your hands have the same status as the rest of your body. If your body is tahor, which is the case here, because your body can't become tamei through a sheni, right? It can only become a tamei through an av or a rishon, or I think from an av. Your body can only become tamei from an av. So your hands are no different. And min haTorah, they can only become tamei through an av. It's only midrabanan that we make an extra gezerah of tumah on your hands, and so therefore the whole concern of your hands is only midrabanan. Whereas when it comes to ochlin, that is ikaro min haTorah. Those the general idea of tumah for ochlin is min haTorah, and so therefore mutov sheyitmu yadayim deles luikar midaraisa vayitmu ochlin deles luikar midaraisa. If we're going to choose between risks here, I'd rather risk your hands becoming tamei, where that's the whole institution of hands becoming tamei is only midrabanan, and not risk ochel becoming tamei, where it's more of a daraisa concern. Okay, if you didn't catch that, we get a new start here with the two dots. Beis Shammai Omrim. Here we're talking about when you do mayim achronim. Do you do it before you clean up the table or after you clean up the table? And again, we're focused again on tuma. We're assuming that you're eating batara. And so therefore, any tumah that transfers to food is going to be a problem. We want to avoid that. So Tana Rabbanan, Beis Shammai Omrim, Mechavdim es habayis, clean the house. But Rashi expands that to mean really clean the table. V'achar kach notlin liyadayim. And after that, do mayim achronim. Why? Shima ta omer notlin liyadayim tchila. Because if you're going to make your hands tahor first, do mayim achronim first, nimtza ta mafsid es haochlin. Rashi points out, your mayimach, we're concerned that if your table still has some crumbs on it and leftovers, when you do your mayimach ornum, it's going to splash onto the leftovers and taint the leftovers with tumma, and that's bad. That's what we're trying to avoid. The girsi here gets rid of the next few words because it's kind of repetitive. We're concerned about the crumbs, and so that's why we're not going to do mayim achronim until after you clear off the table. That's based Shammai. Clear off the table because we're worried that the mayim achronim is going to spill onto the crumbs and make them tamei. Beis Hillel says you don't really have to clear off the entire table. Because if your shamish is a talmid chacham, if the person is your butler, is someone who knows what he's doing, so he'll know that he should remove the large crumbs, and then it's not so problematic that there are teeny tiny crumbs on the table that don't have a kazayas, because even if those become tamei, it's just crumbs. They're going in the garbage anyway. Misele Rabbi Yochanan, and this is consistent with Rabbi Yochanan, Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Pirurin Shein Bam Kazayas, Mutar La'avdan Biyad. Rabbi Yochanan says, if it's just crumbs, things that are less than a kazayis, it's not so terrible to make them tamei, because they're just crumbs. You're not going to eat them anyway. The problematic thing is to make larger pieces of food tamei. And so Beis Hillel is consistent with that concept. But my kamifuge, what are Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing about then? If Beis Hillel says there's an easy fix here, you don't have to completely clear off the table, but just partially clear off the table, get rid of the big pieces. So why doesn't Beis Shammai also hold with that? So Beis Hillel Savri Asr Ushtamish Bishamish Ama Aretz. Beis Hillel says your butler should be someone who knows how to learn. He knows the basic hilchos of Tumah and Tahara, and therefore your shamish will know to pull off the big pieces, and that's why it's okay not to completely clear off the table. Beis Shammai Savri Mutar Ushtamish Bishamish Ama Aretz. Beis Shammai says it's okay to have a shamish who's not such a Talmud Chacham, who doesn't know the difference between Tumah and Tahara, big crumbs and little crumbs. And therefore, unless you tell your shamish to completely clear off the table, you run the risk of being metame the big pieces as well. Amrav Yosi Bar Chanina Amrav Huna Bekulei Pirkin Halacha KeBeis Hillel. In all of our parak, all these halachos, we follow Beis Hillel Bar Meha the Halacha KeBeis Shammai, except for this halacha where the halacha is like Beis Shammai. Rav Oshia Masni Ipcha, Rav Oshia just flips the shitos. Uvahaname Halacha KeBeis Hillel. And here too, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Okay, let's try to get to the bottom of the Amud, or should we? Let's just say, yeah, we'll get to the next two dots, actually. The next is relatively straightforward. So we say, Beis Shammai Omrim Neru Mazon. We're talking about now the order of Besamim versus Ner. What comes first? Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Ikol LeBei Rava. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda went to the house of Rava. Chazi LeRava. And he was at his house for Shabbos, and then Havdalah came. And he saw that Rava debarach abisamim bereisha. Rava said the bracha on besamim, followed by ner. Amar lei, he said to him, michte Beis Shammai Beis Hillel amur lo pligi. Ditanya, he says, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, they don't have a machlokas about the candle. Ditanya, Beis Shammai omrim ner umazon besamim v'Havdalah. You do the ner and then the besamim. Beis Hillel omrim ner besamim mazon v'avdala. They argue about the order of the mazon, but they all agree that you do the ner followed by the besamim, right? So he was saying to Rava, why are you making the bracha on the besamim first? Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel hold that clearly the ner comes first. So there's no one who holds the besamim comes first. What are you doing? So ani Rava basrei zudirir ner. Rava said, you're quoting from our Mishnah, which is following the Shita of Rabbi Meir. But we have another tradition from Rabbi Yehuda, Val Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lonechuku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. This is the Brisa that we quoted at the very beginning. Lonechuku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al Amazon Shu Bitchila Val Avdala Shi Besof. They don't argue about the order of the Mazon versus the Avdala. Amanechuku al Maor Val Besamim. Their very machlokis is about the order of Maor, of Ner and Besamim. Shebeshamim omrim al ha-ma'or v'acharach besamim. Beshamim holds ner followed by besamim. Vesilo omrim besamim v'acharach ma'or. And Vesilo holds besamim followed by ner. And so that's why Rava says, that's why I made the bracha on besamim followed by ner, because in the tradition of Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel says besamim comes first followed by ner. Rabbi Yochanan says, we paskin like Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is why we also do besamim, followed by ner. Okay, now we'll stop there.